Hi, I'm Natalie Kerr.
And I'm Jamie Kurtz.
We are both social psychologists and colleagues in the Department of Psychology at James Madison University. We've spent decades exploring the complexities of social life, and recently, we've noticed that things have become a bit more complicated. Despite being more digitally connected than ever, many of us feel lonely or simply want more from our relationships. We long for more time with friends, more meaningful conversations, greater intimacy in our relationships, and a greater sense of community. However, there are many barriers that stand in the way of meaningful connection. Some of these obstacles are a function of modern life, like the constant pull of our digital devices and our overwhelming workloads. Others are more timeless, such as anxiety in social situations or the fear of vulnerability. We talk about these barriers and the ways to overcome them in our new book, Our New Social Life: Science-Backed Strategies for Creating Meaningful Connection. Today, we'd like to share 5 key insights from the book.
Insight number 1, social connection isn't a luxury. Do you wish you had more time to spend with friends? If so, you're not alone. Surveys suggest that Americans are spending less time with friends than they used to, now averaging just 3 hours a week. And about half of people wish they had more time with friends. This trend can be partly attributed to our busy schedules, but it may also reflect shifting priorities. As humans, we have a fundamental need for social connection. We live happier, healthier, and longer lives when we have enough of it. Yet, in the modern world, we often view socializing as a luxury we can afford to live without. It can feel more like an indulgence than an essential need. When we feel pressed for time and want to cut back on something, happy hours, date nights, and brunches with friends are often the first things to go. This mindset that social connection is a luxury rather than an essential need can create a barrier to social connection, and it's one that we might not even be aware of. To overcome this barrier, we must remember that social connection is an essential health behavior, just as important as sleep, exercise, and good nutrition, and we need to prioritize it accordingly. Whether we consider ourselves introverts or extroverts, we must invest time, energy, and resources into our relationships.
Insight number 2. The norms of modern life are making it harder for us to connect. Social norms are the unwritten rules for normal or acceptable behavior in a given context. In the U.S., for example, social norms include shaking hands when greeting someone, saying please and thank you, and giving people plenty of personal space. It's good to conform to these types of social norms because they help people know what to expect during social interactions. They also help us maintain good relationships with others. However, there are other social norms that we should consider breaking. Let's consider a relatively new norm: using our phones in social settings. In a recent survey, nearly 90% of U.S. adults admitted to using their phone during their most recent social interaction. You can see this play out at nearly any restaurant, wedding reception, or fraternity party. Have you had the experience of someone repeatedly looking at their phone while you're telling them something important? Or even worse, have you had someone reply to somebody else's text message while you're talking to them? It feels pretty crummy, right? Research confirms that this behavior can make us feel rejected and less connected to our social partners. In couples, this behavior is linked to increased relationship conflict and decreased relationship satisfaction. This is just one example of how social norms can make connection more difficult. Other examples include the fact that we're spending more time alone. More people are living alone and working remotely. We've also adopted busyness as a way of life, filling our schedules to the point where there's little room left for spontaneous connection. In addition, modern parenting has become so time and energy intensive that many of us sacrifice our social lives to support our kids' activities. These patterns are starting to feel normal, and many of us feel pressure to conform to what seems normal or expected. Or we might go along with these norms without even realizing it. It's a natural human tendency. However, going with the flow can ultimately leave us feeling adrift. If we want to live more connected lives, we need to start questioning and resisting some of the norms that define our modern social world.
Insight number 3. Our assumptions about other people are often wrong. Have you ever fretted over a social blunder you thought you committed, only to later learn that no one actually noticed or cared? Have you ever felt rejected when a friend didn't return a text, only to find out that they misplaced their phone? If you're like us, you've had the experience of misreading social cues. After all, making sense of other people is no easy task. We can't read minds, so we have to make inferences about people's thoughts, feelings, and intentions. And decades of research demonstrates that our inferences are often wrong. Here's another example of how we might get it wrong. We tend to underestimate how much others will appreciate our efforts to connect. This keeps us from doing things like striking up conversations with strangers who might eventually become friends, expressing gratitude to those we've never properly thanked, offering social support to friends in need, and performing random acts of kindness. Here's another example. Have you ever found yourself replaying a conversation in your head, cringing at something you said? We do this quite a bit ourselves. It's common for people to worry about the impression they made, but our fears are often overblown. In fact, research shows that people tend to like us and enjoy our conversation more than we think they do. Researchers call this discrepancy in perspectives the liking gap. Our faulty perceptions of other people can create a barrier to social connection. The good news is that this barrier can be overcome by simply adopting a more positive outlook. Expect people to like you. Expect them to appreciate your gratitude, your support, and your kindness. Chances are they truly will. And in the rare instance that they don't, it probably had nothing to do with you.
Insight number 4. We often overlook the opportunities for connection that are right in front of us. Many people think that the process of making friends is mysterious or determined by a person's unique attributes, like a great sense of humor or good looks, for example. These factors do matter, but research suggests that liking is also triggered by simple, mundane factors, like how often you cross paths with someone or how much you have in common. Overlooking these simple factors can cause you to miss out on opportunities for connection that are right in front of you. One of the most overlooked factors is proximity, or being physically close to others. In the words of social psychologist Elliot Aronson, the people who are geographically nearest to you are most likely to become dearest to you as well. There's nothing mysterious about the power of proximity. The more you see someone, the more opportunities you have to smile at one another, say hello, strike up a conversation, and discover common interests. However, the power of proximity is also due to a very basic psychological phenomenon known as the mere exposure effect. In short, the more we're exposed to something, the more we tend to like it. The mere exposure effect applies to foods, fragrances, songs on the radio, and yes, even people. There's an easy way to put the mere exposure effect to work for you. Just let yourself be seen. Turn your camera on during Zoom meetings. Comment on your friends' social media posts. Or go to the yoga studio instead of streaming a class in your living room. And try to be seen repeatedly. This could involve going to the gym at the same time each day or attending the 9 o'clock church service every Sunday. This increases the chances of crossing paths with the same people. Over time, you'll start recognizing others, and they'll begin to recognize you, which could lead to something more. This advice is especially helpful for those who are shy or quiet. You don't need to be the wittiest or most outgoing person in the room. You might just need to show up.
Insight number 5. Opening up is risky, but worth it. How do you feel about deep conversations? the ones in which you admit your imperfections, share your true feelings, or reveal your deepest longings. How do you feel about showing your true self in a friendship? Research suggests that many of us are reluctant to engage in these types of behaviors, but they are the key to unlocking greater intimacy in our relationships. Consider one study in which participants engaged in both shallow and deep conversations with strangers. In the shallow conversation, participants answered questions such as, "How is your day going so far?" In the deep conversation, participants disclosed more personal information by answering questions like, "If you could undo one mistake you have made in life, what would it be and why would you undo it?" The results showed that participants expected to prefer the shallow conversation, but they actually preferred the deeper one. They also felt closer to their deep conversation partner than their shallow conversation partner, and the deep conversations were a lot less awkward than participants thought they'd be. This work suggests that when we play it safe, we might be missing out on opportunities for meaningful social connection.
So there you go, 5 key insights from the book, Our New Social Life. Throughout the book, you'll find many surprising insights and dozens of practical strategies for cultivating meaningful connection. These strategies have helped us feel more connected and less lonely over the years, and we hope they'll benefit you as well. Thanks for listening.